Youth, young adult youth, you guys are meeting today. Good morning again, those who were not there when we start. And it's good to be back. Nobody like cheering for us to be back? Okay. All right. We were expecting a big banquet, a big cake, balloon. Next time, you miss a good opportunity to surprise us. Anyway, all right. We're going to put the offering bucket at the table, the connection table at the back. I would love to see the Ajax campus help sowing into that building. Is that all right? Is that biblical? Is that Christian? Yes. Scriptures say, love your neighbors as yourself. How many love yourself? How many would love to have a building here in Ajax? Yeah. All right, so this is a good time to sow in. And actually, I haven't talked to Alexander, but I really felt in my heart that we're also going to pitch in, we're going to throw in. I really felt $1,000 from my side I'm going to put in. So we're going to help them, you know, encourage them to keep going. This is something about the kingdom. This is not about a person. This is not about a man and a woman. It's not about a couple. It's about the kingdom of heaven, right? I want you to get it right. This is about the kingdom being extended. It's been growing. I would love to see you as well to think about sowing in this campus. And everything we sow, we will reap, right? Amen. All right, so Alex and I, we had a great trip back home. And officially, we got married last week in Mauritius. Some people, whoa, what is happening? You know, we got married here in Canada, but our legal paper back home is not recognized. So we need to go there and officially have it work and have it approved and have it signed and have all the things. So she's now Mrs., you know, back now, right, back home now. So thing happened last week, right? So a lot of good things. Some of you have commented now on the Facebook. How many saw the picture we put on Facebook about the wedding? Right, it was good, right? So my mom is happy that we came. She's not happy we left, but we done a lot of work. I done a lot of work in her house. We paint, we put new doors, new windows, alarm. I fixed her roof, ceiling. You know, where she's sleeping, the bed, there's a big chunk of concrete was about to fall. And the moment I went on the ladder, I touched it, a hole, I think about 10, 11 inches of concrete just fell. And that was right under her head where she was sleeping. So we have to fix that concrete patch and everything. So it was a lot of work for us, but it was also a good time to see a lot of friends. And I tried to recap quickly what happened. And I was also asked to preach, to minister, to do an outreach in the church where I used to pastor before. This is where Alexandra get to know each other. And they say to me, you know, we want to do an evangelic campaign. I said, yes. As you know, I love to evangelize and reach the lost and everything. So I said, yes, go for it. Let's do it. And they told me, like, next week, Friday, you're going to preach. I said, great. Yes, I'm for it. And little that I know, Gaddafi, you know, the guy, he died on Thursday night. And the very next night, I was preaching about 200 feet away from a square called Gaddafi Square. Little that I know was like 200, like the very next night, and venue, and we got about, what, 200 people, 250-something people show up. And I was like, this is like in the Muslim quarter, about 200 feet from Gaddafi Square. And there was a lot of commotion going on because some people apparently really love him. We even call that square his name. And I mean, loved to have that excitement. And thank God, everything went well. And three people gave their life to Jesus. that night, so we're excited about it. So, and well, we're back here. I'm still a bit jet lag. Alex Sandra is doing well, right, Alex? She's been busy already from the day we walked in. All right, so I want to thank all those who helped while we're away. I just want to thank you guys, those who pitch in, those who fill in the gap. Thank you so much. All right, and I want to talk from Luke chapter 19. So if you have your Bible, and if we, hopefully we have time to watch a little video clip as well. How many of you have seen the video clip from Sid Roth? Last time we played the first part. How many have seen the second part? Not yet? 1, 2, 3, good. Thank you. Right, a lot of response. So because of that, I'm going to just show you a little bit, another whole thing for the second part of Sid Roth about Jonathan Cain, about the prophetic things that God revealed to him. If you in Luke chapter 19, all right, let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the word. We thank you for the message that you want us to hear this morning. Father, we ask you, Father, that you open our eyes, open our hearts to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Things that is revealed, things that is not been revealed yet that you want to reveal to us. Help us to get a full understanding. Help us, Father, to have a mind consecrated right now on your word. Help our hearts, Father, to be able to receive. And Father, anything illegitimate that tried to compromise your word, Father, we say it be silent right now in the name of Jesus. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, we command you right now to be quiet in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. Right. Luke chapter 19. Last time when we left, we talked about the sycamore tree. We talked about what happened in 9/11. We talked about when we built with the huge stone, and Exodus 20 talk about if you build the temple of the huge stone, God is not going to accept it. It's going to be polluted and all this kind of thing. So we talk about this kind of thing. So we talk about Zacharias, who the chief tax collectors, when he go on the top of the tree, and that was a sycamore tree, and we talk about that. So you guys are up to that point, right? So now let's read from verse 1. When Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, there was a man named Zacharias. He was a tax collector and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacharias, make haste, come down, for today I must stay in your house. And when I look at that scriptures, we look at what is happening in the finance side, not just in Canada, but also around the world. We see that the tax collectors are now about to come to a place of however we come to acknowledge, we want to know who Jesus is. And like we say in Revelation chapter 20, Jesus say the spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So everything that Jesus have done so far is a prophetic revelation of what's going to take place. So if this is right, which I believe it is, we're going to see the financial area around the world are going to have a shaking going on. And when Jesus said the word that, make haste, come down, today I must stay in your house. And it's also kind of interesting that this thing now attaching to what's happening around the world, the word occupy. How many have watched around the news the word occupy? Word occupy literally come from the word when people lose their house. When they can't pay the mortgage, they can't pay for their house, and the bank say, we're going to now take your land, we're going to take your house, you're going to vacate it. That's the word occupy. Say, now I'm going to stay. I'm not going to live. And that was a revolution going around the world. So what we see right now, Jesus say, I must now stay, I must now occupy, in another word, we can put it there, your home, right? So we saw that, we see that's happening around the world. And he made haste and come down, and then verse 7 say, but when they saw that, when the people see that, they all murmured, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And last week, I was reading the news in England. The Anglican Church in the city of London, England, occupy or now wanted to be in the Anglican Church. We are now asking the church to open their door so that we can stay in the church. When I see this, I think to myself, like, you know, the church, the bride of Christ, you know, we are one, you know, not two, one flesh, right? And like now the church now are really, really involved with what's happening with Occupy, which literally that's movement about a lot of things are happening. They are talking about a whole new laws and rules need to be changed. How many know that? How many have been following this? The way how this the finance been working so far is not good anymore. It's going to be changed. And what it's scary to go into some of the detail, but they said soon Italy is going to fall. And if that fall, France is going to fall. Greek is already in bad debt. Spain is going to fall. So basically, you look at the whole Europe, it's going to be a big mess. And we can't get away from that. That's the reality. That's a fact. So I want to look at the scriptures here and see what's happening today in our world, right? In verse 8, Zacharias, the chief tax collector, stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. Half. And the Bible says this is a rich man. And if he give half of his fortune, of his wealth to the poor, that's a very, very interesting area, because we've been talking about the oil and the wine, what the oil represent, literally represent the poor. Right? And just say, that's when you help the poor, that's when your light is going to shine. So this man is say, I'm going to give half of my good to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. I'm going to give back four times what I take away illegally, wrongfully. So there's going to be like a restoration, a redemption in the financial area in this world. That's if the people is going to acknowledge Jesus, right? So Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. I don't know about you, but when I look at these scriptures, I can just stay on that scriptures, verse 10, for another 15, 20 minutes. Like, have you lost anything? Have I lost anything in this life? Oh, yeah. And when I look at this, almost like Jesus said this, everything that you have lost, I'm going to come, I'm going to restore, I'm going to save what's been lost. There's going to be a season of restoration that we never seen before. But there's a key. There are components, there are things that in our life that we need to make sure that we are still walking in integrity, walking with the Lord, as much as we know, as much as we can, to see that restoration taking place. All right? So if you want to take some moment in this week, say, God, what are the things that I've lost? I would like to see restoration. And that's what I believe you need to pray about sometime this week. And then verse 11, now as we hear this thing, he spoke another parable. The NIV version say, immediately, and Jesus don't separate the parable to that event. As soon as the chief tax collector say, I'm going to redeem, I'm going to give back, I'm going to pay back, Jesus immediately bring this parable right into that action, into that moment. So it's like immediately, right? He's using this parable. It's not like two different situations. Like now, that moment happened, that parable. And I want to talk about this parable this morning. It has a lot to do with finance this morning. And because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. That's what immediately what people think, right? Restoration come as soon as this said, okay, now restoration is going to come and the kingdom of God is going to come. Verse 12, therefore he said, a certain noble went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hate him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded his servant to whom he had given the money, and he called to him that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then the first came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. I want to pause here for a moment. This is a nobleman, and he established king over the cities, over the nation, right? And then he called the servant to come back and said, I want to know what you've done with the talent. Now, minas is an ancient ways of currency. It's normally used as a weight. It's like 1.25. That's kilos. That's a weight for a mina. So that was before we had the shekel, the talent. The mina was the very first currency. Interesting, mina, it originated from the Greek word, the Greek currency in the ancient world. And when I look at this, it's kind of like, if that is what it's all about, then we see that Greek right now is not a good place. And when Jesus looked at this, he said the word mina, he could have said shekel, the talent, but he touched on the word mina. So we see that now there's a thing that is happening in Greece right now where they're going bankrupt, they're not doing financially well. So we see that God is now coming to a place that I want to know what you've done with the talent. Minas also represent sources. It comes from the word mine. It comes from the word also resources of the land. So what have you done with the resource of the land? And as the scripture said, we've done, some of them said, we have worked hard. I have one resource and I have multiplied. Now I have 10 and God's... the parable say, you good and faithful servant, come, and I'm going to... And then the other one has 5. It say, oh, you have 5. You make, from out of one, you make 5. So, have another 5. So, and then there's one, right? The service. Let's read from verse 18. The second came, Master, your mina has earned 5. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Master, here's your mina, and I have kept put in a handkerchief or sackcloth. Some scriptures say it. For I fear you, because you are an austere man, a hard man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant, you knew that I was an hard man, collecting what I did not deposit and reap where I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming that I might have collected with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it for who has 10 minas. Otherwise, you don't use it, you do nothing about it, it's going to be taken away from you. And God is giving it now to the one who has more, the one who's been multiplying more. And he said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that everyone who has will be given from him who does not have. Even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring those enemies of mine, those who do not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. So that is a very harsh word. Now, I want to bring out a couple of points here. This one, we're talking about cities. If we look at this as parable, but as also prophetic word, those who've been faithful in the resources of their land, who make things work, who growing things, who make things developing and multiply, they're going to be doing well. But those who does nothing about it is going to be removed. And what if, I want you trying to see something here. What if one nation started to take another nation, say, you know what, we've been faithful, we've been working with what we have, but you have not, and you're in debt. We're not going just to bail you out. We're not just going to give you your money and then so you can just walk away. But we're going to literally take your cities. Is that possible? If we look at this power right now, we have to be a little bit careful how we translate these scriptures right now. But I just want to challenge you to think a little bit outside the box right now, okay? And the one who did nothing with what he has, he's not going to be in power anymore. He's going to lose everything. Now, can I challenge your mind a little bit bigger? Can I do that? I'm not saying it's going to be. I just want to give you a perspective, but can I challenge a little bit more? What if one day, United States of America is owned by China? Have you ever thought about it? I'm not saying it's going to be. I'm not saying this is a parable. I'm not saying this is a prophetic word. I'm saying, I mean, if you do nothing, I mean, if and what are we going to do as neighbors? It's a scary thought, right? I'm not saying this. I'm just challenging you to think outside the box right now, okay? What if Germany take over Greece, for example? Right now, there's two nations who's fighting for Europe right now. It's Germany and France. Each one has their own agenda, plan, how we're going to take Europe. And each one has different ways of how we want to run Europe right now, Eurozone. Could it be possible that France will take some of Spain or some of the other nation and Germany will take another nation? Because those who have more, that those who's been doing things, they're going to get more. Those who's doing nothing will lose it. Right? The other thing I want to point out is this. The one who has one thing and done nothing with it, how he understand that master, or the ruler, he said, I can see that you're a hard man. You did not reap. You did not sow, and you reap what you did not, you know, sow. And we don't want you to be a ruler over us. Right? Did we just read that? He said, these people do not want this man to be ruler. In other words, there's going to be some area where they don't want that whoever is in control to be ruler over them. But what happened, you say, in verse 20, say, you know, we're going, if you don't want to be me to be your ruler, then you become my enemies. Right? So we are in a place we have to be very careful how the situation is going around us right now. And what if this has to do with you and I? I'm going to talk about this a little bit more later, right? So we need to be able to watch and pray. If you go quickly, turn to verse 43. Let's read from verse 42, same chapter, Luke 19. It's saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, if you have known this, if you have seen it, especially in your days, the thing that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemy will build an embankment around you, surround you, enclose you in every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. God is willing to visit those nations. And God has wanted to see people to come to repentance, to this nation come to repentance. And in Isaiah 9, we read 9, 10, 11, but verse 12, we say this, but they do not repent. They do not repent. They refuse to acknowledge Christ. And this is also based on Isaiah chapter 9. And you know, 9, 11, verse 9, 10, is talk about the stones going to fall down. And they say we're going to rebuild and all this kind of thing. And then 9, 11 come. But verse 12 said that they still refuse to repent. And it's a very scary thing to see the elders and the leaders of the land refuse to turn to God. So when we see what's happening right now, prophetically speaking, and we see what the scriptures is talking about, we saw that Jesus is going to come to places and things are going to switch very, very quick, very fast. Because he said to Zacharias, immediately I must stay in your house right now. Things are going to change the moment I come in. Right? Now, I want you to think far back. Back to the Garden of Eden for a moment. You remember what happened to Adam and Eve? The Lord spoke to them and said, you can eat from all the tree, but except from that one. That tree is called the good of knowledge, good and evil. That tree you do not touch. Don't eat from that tree. Right? And let me read this to you. And some of you, you're going to be pretty interesting to see that what is this tree talking about? How many know that we all know that talk about the tree of good knowledge, good and evil, right? And I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3 and from verse 6. It says this. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruits and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate it. Now, both of them eat the fruit of the tree. Now, what kind of fruit is it? Some people say it's an apple. I don't know it's an apple, but let's go to the next verse. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sew what? Fig leaves. You get it now? What's the sycamore tree? It's a fig tree. What do they sow around them? Fig leaves. So what are the fruit they might be eating right now? Fig. Right? Now, it didn't say that, but if you sow fig leaf around you, that's why they say it's good and pleasant. Now, when Jesus walked, and going back to Luke chapter 19, he looked at the fig, right? And he wanted to eat the fruit of that tree. And there was no fruit. He cursed that tree. What is he trying to do right now? How can you relate what Jesus is trying to do with what happened in the Garden of Eden? Right? He's trying to do something right there without us knowing what he was doing. Imagine the Son of God will not just curse a tree because there's no fruit. There's another bigger purpose into what he's doing right now. All right? So, I want you to see that. I want you to make this relationship, this connection with what happened back in the Garden of Eden, and to see that sycamore. All right. Okay. I'm going to show this video clip to you. Thank you, Robert. So, I feel that this has filled in some gap from what we read from Luke 19 here. And number 7, a lot of 7 coming out. Yesterday I was reading the news. We talk about the real estate in Vancouver was going to increase by 7%. Number 7 grew up. And last week we heard about, I think in the Philippines, there was a girl was born. She was a 7 billion population child. And 7 billion, number 7 come up again. And I thought to myself, there's a lot of 7 going out. So, And there was another thing that I want to point out too. It wasn't O'Leary on the CBC Finance, you know, talk live. And there, they're talking about you can buy now gold and silver. The Canadian Mint, have you heard about that? Canadian Mint, instead of now getting a paper certificate about your gold and your silver, what they want to do now, they want to give you literally a gold coin, a silver coin, and it's in a pouch that you can take home, you can keep with you. And when I look at the scriptures, what they say, that one, the one who received 1 minas, they say, which I have kept and put in a handkerchief. I thought to myself, this is very interesting. They've never done this before. Never done this before. And that is called a PMX stock. When you go in stock, you can check it out. For the first time, now you can buy that instead of getting a paper certificate. Instead of putting this in your, you know. And I thought to myself, this is so too much kind of real. All these things are now pointing to the same Luke chapter 19, and you know, and I know that the mina has the ancient currency and there's a new modern currency of mina. We're talking about the new mina or the silver coin and the gold coin, right? Now, and we also know that there's now a record of how many people are now buying gold and silver. And it keeps selling, keep going up. In other words, these people are buying this thing, and what they do for safety reason, what they think is like, hard time is coming. We're not going to invest it anymore. We're going to save our money. We're going to buy gold. We're going to keep it in our safety deposit somewhere until something happens. And I'm telling you what, I'm not going to be a financial advisor to you to tell you what to do with money, but I'm telling you, if you don't use the resources what God has given you, you're going to lose it. That's what the Bible says. So what this has to do with us? What it has to do? I mean, this happened in Greece. It's happening. France is also almost on the edge of losing the AAA rating. Spain is already there. So what is for us? What is for you and for me? And this is my question, and I think it's very clear that Shemitah year, it's literally a year. The Hebrews talk about this is the year of faith. This is the Sabbath of the Sabbath year of the Lord. This is a year where we need to be able to hold. Those who do not know the Lord, we're going to find this is going to be a hard time. It's going to be hard. You do not sow, but you try to reap. It's a hard time. They don't understand. But those who know him, right? Like you see, that sycamore tree that was struck on 9/11, simple church, it to preserve, it to save. And when Jesus saw that fig tree doesn't produce fruit, he cursed it to preserve. It's a year of, like, I'm going to now protect from what, you know, and because he don't want anyone else to go and eat from that tree. It's a symbol of, I don't want anybody to do what happened in the Garden of Eden. So we're going to stop this now once for all. So God is giving another grace. We have to understand the eyes of God on those who fear him right now. And little that we know, we're doing things, we're hearing from the Holy Spirit. And we say we need now to have a house of prayer. We've been establishing a house of prayer. Pickering Ajax and Whitby, if, you know. Some of you have been to the house of prayer. So, and that's what he's saying right now, right? 2 Corinthians said, if my people who are called by my name will repent, call me, and I will turn, I will heal the land. I really felt very strongly that we need to come to this place of house of prayer. And in the same chapter of Luke 19, this is what he say at the end of the chapter. And when he went into the temple and began to drive out those who brought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves, of robbers. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. They weren't able to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. The house of prayer. I feel very, very strong that we need to start establishing the house of prayer. We already started a couple of weeks ago. We need to. I want to encourage you to keep going. And somehow at the campus airport, campus, they already start having the house of prayer, right? So, I want to finish by saying this, guys. We are an exciting time. Some of you are looking at the one Minas that lost everything. The little that he has is going to be lost. But I want you to look at the other one. The one who has multiplied from 1 to 10. Guess what? 100% return. The one who has multiplied from 1 to 5. Another 5. That's interest how God bless those who've been faithful. Those who've been watching. Those who've been carefully seeking him. And how he's going to come. And even now, those who's not been faithful, that we want to have, the one that has 10 cities is going to be given to that person, is going to be enlarged. God's going to enlarge, enlarge, enlarge his territories. And I'm telling you what, I just, yesterday, Alexander told me that there was an email that sent out. We were away, but all the pastors gathered together one day for a time of prayer and seeking the Lord, and they have come for the team for next year is going to be a time of seeking his face, praying in his presence. So for next year is the year 2012 is the team for 2012 is to pray, staying seeking his face in his presence. And I cannot, the excitement that came over me that others are hearing what God is saying, and I want you to hear that as well. I want you to know that it's for you as well. It's for me to spend time seeking God's face, staying in his presence, praying together. Right? And if we don't do this, nobody else outside is going to do that. The world won't do it. Those who don't know him won't do it. But those who are called by my name, and you are called by his name. And I want you to say, you know, make a commitment towards going to the house of prayer. Say, we're doing once a week. So we're going to open a home on this Saturday. Right, I want to hear from Diane Amanda. We haven't heard, but this Saturday we're going to open our home for the house of prayer. So those who want to come pray, come. We're going to start at 7:30, and we're going to finish at 9:00. We encourage you to join in to come and pray with us. Is that okay? Right? Is that okay? Amen. All right. Okay, let's stand up. We're going to close this meeting this morning. Thank you, Father God. Father, there's a time when you are going to bring all these things alignment, and at the end, you're going to come and cleanse the temple. You're going to cleanse each one of us. You want to see that each one, every believer, become a house of prayer for all nations. And Father, we want to thank you because this is where the church started in the book of Acts, when we start to pray, all the nation, all the different tongues, all the gift of the tongues of the Spirit come upon each and every believers on that day, that everyone's pray in their own different languages in one place. And Father, I want to thank you for each one of us here today, that I open our eyes to see that you are such a loving God right now. But you are doing everything you can, but you're also expanding, working, so that the kingdom of on this earth has become the kingdom of our Lord. Everything is going to be aligned with your word. And all of us who walk with you, all of us who stay with you, Father, you say that not one hair will be touched. Nothing will happen to us, that we are protected by your name. We are protected by you, Lord Jesus Christ. And you not only want to protect us, but you want us also to multiply. Those who's been serving, those who've been faithful to you, God, is going to see great increase coming. We're going to experience amazing favor there alone. I thank you, God, that there's going to be a lot of transition. But when these things happen, help us, God, not to be fearful, knowing that everything is in your hand. Everything is in control. And Father, we want to pray for this nation, Lord. We want to pray for Canada one more time. We lift Canada before you, God. We don't want to go back in the history, but we want to say, Father, let Canada, Father, shine before you, God. Let Canada, Father, the healing of the nation, Father. Help us, Father, to know the prophetic word for our nation, Father. That we can touch our nation with healing, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can start working towards that prophetic word, Father, that you have for us, Lord God. We give you thanks. We give you praise, Father, that it's what you're doing right now, Father, it's count, Father. We give you praise, God. And Father, I just pray for the peace and understanding, Father, of the Holy Spirit be upon each one of us, God. We're not going to leave this place worried. We're not going to leave this place concerning about negative things, but we're going to leave this place knowing that, God, you are right now working and you're doing something right now that the kingdom of this world is going to come to know the kingdom of our King, our Lord. We pray for all those nations that are right now in turmoil. We pray for the leaders of all those nations, Father, to come to the place where they turn to you, if they repent from their sin and turn back to you, God. We pray that, Father, that only then the favor of God will come back. Only then the promises of God will come back. So, Father, we ask you right now, Father, that keep our heart in the right place. Keep our eyes in the right place. Keep our ears, Father, to hear the right thing, Father. And everything that brings negative thoughts, it's not of you right now. It's because you want to protect each one of us, Lord. I give you thanks, God. I give you praise. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can clap. Thank you, Lord.